In Jesus' name, amen. The text is today's gospel reading from St. Luke chapter 24. We pay particular attention to what Jesus did as he stood among his disciples. They were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Fairly obvious, is it not, brothers and sisters? First, they doubted that he could be raised from the dead. Then even after they realized that he truly was alive, they still had worries because they were so full of joy. If it hadn't been for the great suffering, the tremendous agony that Jesus had gone through, we might actually feel sorry for them and the roller coaster that they had been riding over the past few days. The exaltation of Palm Sunday, the solemn mystery of the institution of the Lord's Supper, and Jesus' final words it finally showed to them before he died, and of course, his suffering and death, their fear and hiding and gloom, and then the scattered reports that had all of a sudden become a waterfall of solid evidence. Jesus was not in his grave because he was alive. Standing there, flesh and blood, touchable, seeable. This comes immediately after the two who had been walking down the Emmaus Road came back to tell the disciples that they had been eating and drinking with Jesus, and that just as he broke the bread, they recognized him in that, and he disappeared from their sight. They ran back, made their report, and by then Peter and the others were sharing what they had seen, and all of a sudden there was Jesus. We know that Thomas then, who was not there this day, doubted until he saw for himself. But yet we see among them the same doubt that Thomas showed, the same disbelief that it truly was Jesus. Because to them also, on that first Easter Eve, he said, "Touch, see, it's really me." If you can't believe it from the Scripture, then believe it because you can shake my hand. You can wrap your arms around me and hug me. You can, if you're curious enough or morbid enough, even put your fingers in the holes. You see, I am alive. Christians do not believe in some vague spiritual resurrection. Where were these disembodied spirits floating around for all eternity? We are flesh and blood, and we will remain flesh and blood in the resurrection. Not perhaps like we are now, because now our flesh is damaged by the sin that we were born with and by the sins that we have committed and that have been committed against us. The weakness that our bodies bear because we are not perfect and holy allows sin, accident, injury, and finally death to occur. The bodies that we will receive in the resurrection, John tells us, are better, but they are bodies. Whatever kind of body Jesus wants us to have, whatever kind of body the Father gives us, it will certainly be real. And whether or not we will eat fish in heaven, we would certainly be capable of doing it. Whether or not we will shake hands or embrace everyone who is with us in the resurrection, we will be capable of doing it. Because just as Christ is risen from the dead as the first fruits of all who will rise, so we also will be raised up. Substantial. God didn't go through all that trouble of forming the first man out of dirt and making him just so before he breathed his spirit into him, just to have it end with this world. God intended physical, solid, human bodies as well as our spirits, our minds, our emotions, our souls, to be part and parcel, one human being. And Jesus stands among the disciples today. He stands among us in testimony, solid as a rock. He can appear even though solid walls and doors bar him, yet when he chooses to reveal himself, he's really there. He's there and able to crush the food between his teeth and chew it up and swallow it and prove beyond the shadow of doubt that he's not a ghost. He's not a disembodied spirit. He's not somebody coming back to haunt them because they ran away to hide from the garden. But he is the victor. And having made his proclamation to the spirits in prison, he has now risen from the dead to make the proclamation to his church, to the ones who soon would be going out preaching and teaching, evangelizing, and telling everyone who could hear them this wonderful truth. God took on human flesh to redeem humanity, flesh, blood, and spirit, and he won. Why is that important? Well, it means that our sitting here in church will bear results. We hear God's word, we believe God's word, we are forgiven by God's word, and we will live in God's word, not just now, but forever. Our own solid bodies occupying a specific set of space here bear testimony that this Jesus is more important than just some spiritual thing that certain people do. It's a restoration to what we should be, to who God made us to be, and to who we will be in the resurrection. Jesus lives. Our victory is won. Our solid flesh and blood Savior then calls us solid flesh and blood human beings into his presence. Here in his house, throughout our lives here on earth. Jesus appearing to the disciples in this way also should be a rebuke to every one of us when we're tempted to remove our bodies from the Lord's house on the Lord's day. When we're tempted to skimp, to say, well, I can worship God and nature as well as I can in church. But that's not the point of it. The point of it is getting together with other solid bodies in a solid testimony that we are alive in Christ and that we will remain alive forever. God doesn't redeem our bodies so that we can hide from him. God redeemed them so we can come closer to him. And that includes you confirmand sitting up front here. You're not graduating from the presence of the Lord, but rather you're taking a step closer to full participation in Christ's church. Today you will commune for the first time. And today, as you make your promises, so help you God, you assume a more adult position in Christ's church. We will assume that you can defend the faith. We will assume that you can tell others why your solid body is in church and why theirs should be. How the hurts that happen to them will be healed, if not in time, then certainly in eternity. Jesus lives. He stands among us today also, solidly, again in his flesh and blood, not where we see him with our eyes, as I see you sitting in front of me, but we see him through faith as he comes to us in the bread and the wine. Again, his body and his blood appearing among his disciples, his holy people, his church. And as he said to the Emmaus disciples those wonderful words of how this had to happen to the Messiah, As he repeated it then to the disciples gathered in the upper room, so he tells us also from the law, from the prophets and the Psalms, exactly what the Son of Man had to do so that we could be saved from our sinful selves. So that we could be saved from everlasting death, torment under Satan and hell forever and ever. And no, amen. To a life of substance and purpose now, and a life of perfection yet to come. Just as the disciples could touch Jesus, could hold him, so we also can touch and hold him. Not only with our arms wrapped around him, but he comes to us even more intimately because he says, "Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood." And this very Jesus, who was born of the Virgin Mary, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, who was crucified, died, and was buried, now lives, and he lives within us. His body given as a sacrifice, his blood purifying us from our sins and granting us new life. Because as the scriptures themselves tell us, the life of the creature is in its blood. And the blood that we are commanded to consume is the blood of Christ, so that we might have his life. So that we might live solidly, purposefully, joyfully, that we might stand up proud and say, "Yes, I believe in Jesus," whether before beggars or kings. And then on the last day we might say, "Lord, I can't get myself into heaven, but you already made the promise, and you have already delivered on it, and you must let me in. You must let me live with your saints forever, with this new body that I have, with this cleansed heart and mind that you have given me." And Jesus says, "Why, of course. Your solid faith in me, given to you by the Holy Spirit, through baptism, through word, sustained through the supper, has made you into who you are right now. God grant that each and every one of you would daily be remade, that you might continue to offer yourselves not only in spiritual worship, but also in physical worship. Doing the physical things, giving of gifts and offerings, sharing of the time that God has lent to you, taking the talents that occupy your body for the benefit not only of the church, but for all mankind. Reaching out, touching, hugging, and healing. Giving and not counting the cost, just as our Savior did for us. These are solid, substantial acts of love that we can do with our solid, substantial bodies, knowing that we have a solid and substantial faith in a Savior who is solid and substantial. Jesus lives, the victory's won. He has not forsaken his human flesh, and he will not forsake humanity. God give you a body dedicated to service, a mind focused on Christ and looking for him, and a heart overflowing with his love, now and forever. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. The peace that surpasses understanding keep you steadfast in this same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.